Today I want to, as this scripture speaks about God's dealings with His people, I want to talk about God's dealings with us, His redeemed people, the ransom, the elect of God. I'm not talking about those who haven't been born again by the Spirit of God. The scriptures say, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not His benefits." Those who are in Christ, as we speak from this psalm, and we speak of the benefits and the blessings of God, those who are in Christ will rejoice. They will rejoice when we consider the things the Lord has done for us. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name." I trust that those who are in Christ will rejoice as we consider the great things the Lord has done for us. But those who only claim the name of Christ may smile, may pretend to rejoice as we speak of God's dealings with His people. But the inward man will feel no real rejoicing, because that person has not got the inner witness of the Holy Ghost. They can't work up a rejoicing in them when they think of the things God has done for them, because they haven't been saved. They haven't been regenerated by the power of God. They don't have the inner witness of the Holy Ghost. The Bible tells us that we're a temple of God. The Bible tells us that God has given us the earnest of His Spirit. The Holy Spirit dwells within us. The Bible says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." The scriptures tell us, Romans 8:16, that the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Over and over and over in the scriptures, we hear of the witness that we are to have in ourselves. Please do not be cold about this. Please do not be reckless about this. If you do not have that witness in you, the witness of the Holy Ghost, the earnest of the Spirit, then you need to seek God. You need to spend time in prayer with God. You need to understand that this is the most serious thing that we could consider. This is your eternity. This is where you will spend all of eternity. 1 John chapter 4, verse 13 says, "Hereby know we." We know. We have a blessed assurance. We have a lively hope. We know that we dwell in Him and He in us, because He hath given us of His Spirit. And so before we even consider all these wonderful blessings and benefits that Psalm 103 speaks of, we would encourage you to consider where you stand with God. Do you have this witness? If you don't have this witness, I can't see how you're going to rejoice in these things we're speaking about. I can't see how you can rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. So don't fool yourself. Don't get into just plain old religion where you show up for church and you think somehow that's going to save you, because it won't. But we want to talk about God's dealings with us. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name." As we consider the things He's done for us, we ought to constantly be blessing Him. But of course, again, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they're foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. And so again, only God's people will truly rejoice as they consider what He has done for them and how He has dealt with us. How has God dealt with us? Well, first of all, He has not dealt with us after our sins. I rejoice in this. He has not dealt with me after my sins. Psalm 103:10 says, "He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities." I rejoice in this. The longer I'm a Christian, the more this means to me, that God has not given me what I deserve. He's given me what I don't deserve, which is forgiveness and cleansing and eternal life in Jesus Christ. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The wages of sin is death. This is eternal death. This is the eternal torment of body and soul in that second death, the lake of fire. That's the wages of sin. That's the reward which we all so richly deserve. That's what we have earned for ourselves. But God has not dealt with us according to our sins or rewarded us according to our iniquities. I know we say, "Well, God saved me. I sinned." You did more than sin. I did more than sin. God didn't make a mistake or broke God's law. Of course we broke God's law. Sin is a transgression of God's law. But to say simply, "Well, I sinned and God saved me," it's more than that. We were born as a fallen son or daughter of Adam. We were born with a sin nature. We were born with a complete want of righteousness. We were born corrupt, separated from God, and we all sinned, and we all fell short of God's perfect, pure glory, and God saved us. He ransomed us. He redeemed us, those wretches that we were. So it was more than just, I sinned. You know, I was a nice person, but I sinned. No, you were separated from God. You were at enmity with God, and so was I. I'm preaching to God's people now. Those who are still separated are still separated. You're still at enmity with God. But God so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so He quickened us who were dead in trespasses and sins. This is how God has dealt with us. He has not dealt with us after our sins. He has not rewarded us according to our iniquities. He has justified us freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God sent to be a propitiation through faith in His blood. God sent Him to die for us. Jesus came to seek and save that which was lost, such as me, such as you. God sent us a Savior, the man Christ Jesus, the one mediator between God and man. Psalm 103, we've just read it, 11 and 12. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. What a blessing. Every filthy sin we've ever done, every evil thought we've ever had, every way that we've failed, every crime we committed against His holiness and His law, God has separated us, that sin, from us, as far as east is from the west. In this He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquity. He has saved us. Jesus Christ has saved us. And the Lord keeps those whom He has saved. This is how He's dealt with us. He has not only not dealt with us according to our sins, or rewarded us according to our iniquities, He saved us and He keeps us saved. We have people in the United States, I don't know what you call them, they call themselves sinless perfectionists. They say, well, once you're in Christ, then you live a sinless life. Well, I sure don't live a sinless life when I consider the perfect holiness of God. But they think they can live a sinless life. Apparently, they think they can do everything that they're commanded to do without fail and without flaw. And they will never, ever have one thought they shouldn't have. But they think that if they sin, then they fall out of salvation. And then they repent and they're back in salvation. You know, these people don't understand justification. They don't understand this one-time legal declaration, which affects our adoption as God's children. God's children, which He will nowise cast out because we're accepted based on Christ's righteousness, and we stand in Christ's righteousness alone. So these people make a mockery of what Christ has done. They don't understand how God has dealt with us. Psalm 37, verse 28 says, "For the Lord loveth judgment and forsaketh not His saints. They are preserved forever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off." We are preserved forever. Jude writes, "To them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Christ Jesus and called." We're in Christ. We won't be cut off. We're a part of His body. He'll no more cut us off than you would willingly cut off your legs and your arms. He won't cut us off. We're accepted in the Beloved. God said, "This is My beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And we're in that beloved Son. He is our high priest. Our high priest who is holy and harmless and undefiled and separate from sinners. Wherefore He is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for them, for you, for me. He sits at the right hand of the Father so that we might always be God's beloved children. Jesus Christ suffered God's wrath. Do you understand this? Do I understand this? Jesus Christ suffered God's wrath, His holy wrath, in Himself, in His body, on the cross, as the propitiation for our sins. This is how we've been dealt with. God dealt with Him because of our sin. His death was the perfect, completely sufficient, holy, efficacious atonement for our sins. We're saved through faith in His blood. His blood shed for us. Our sins were imputed to Him that He might bear them on the cross. His righteousness was imputed to us that we might stand justified before God and be grafted into the body of Christ forever. Our justification is eternal. But I want to remind us today. I want to remind me today. This doesn't mean we can sin with impunity. God will not be mocked. Sin has its consequences. Some people say, well, if you preach that you're secure in Christ, then people will do what they want to do. God will not be mocked. The scriptures say, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. This is not a grant to sin, but praise be to God. When we do sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This is how God has dealt with us. When we sin, he's faithful. He's faithful to his promises. He's faithful to his promise that when we're his children, we're his children. We're in Christ, but he's also just. Because of the merits of Christ, he forgives us our sins and cleanses us from all unrighteousness. So he doesn't simply just turn away from our sin. But when we confess our sins, he forgives us based on Christ's righteousness and blood. This is how he's dealt with us. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. And further, he has dealt wondrously with us. Wondrously with us. Joel chapter 2, verse 26 says this, praise the name of the Lord your God that hath dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed. We were dead in our sins and our trespasses. We were separated from God. We were children of wrath by our natures. We were under a sentence of eternal damnation in hell. Maybe it's time some of us reconsidered from whence we have come. Maybe it's time some of us thought back to where we were headed, so that maybe we would not be so cold toward our Lord, so that maybe we would rejoice in the Lord always, so that maybe we would want to serve him always. We were under sentence of eternal damnation in hell and then into the lake of fire. Now this is a place where Jesus said, the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. This is a place of outer darkness. This is a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth. Such torment in body and soul and mind, that there is weeping and gnashing, eternal gnashing of teeth. Do you remember that account where the rich man and Lazarus, the rich man said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. This flame is real. This fire is real. The worms are real. This is literal. We as Christians ought to act like it's literal. And we ought to praise God for our deliverance, and we ought to be concerned about those who aren't delivered. We ought to act like it's real. We say to the world, there's a hell, and it's real, and then we don't really act like it's real. We don't act like we've been delivered. We don't rejoice. We don't seek to serve God. What a small thing to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. What a small thing to suffer Christ's reproach. We ought to want to serve the Lord. And the smoke of their torment, it says in Revelation 14:11, ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night. Torment of body, mind, and spirit. Now, if the Lord had simply pardoned us from hell, if he had simply pardoned us and instead sentenced us to be annihilated, body and soul, upon our death, you know, we would have had cause for thanksgiving just in that. If we really understand what hell is, we would have cause to be rejoicing that we were simply going to be annihilated. And there was no eternity. If God's wrath would have been propitiated by Christ, and then God would have ever after viewed us with sort of a disinterested benevolency during our life here on earth, and when we died, we were simply no more, that would have been a cause for thanksgiving as opposed to the alternative of spending eternity in torment. But God has done so much more than that for us. He has dealt wondrously with us. Galatians chapter 3, verse 26, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus, and that is what we are. We are the children of God. We are a called out, set apart, beloved people of God, a holy nation. Our church is called Pilgrim's Covenant because we're pilgrims in this land. We're going to a far country. We ought to live like it. We shouldn't have such a love for the world. We ought to want to live a simple life with godliness, a simple life of service. We're the church of God, beloved and chosen. What a great and wonderful thing God has done for us. Psalm 100 chapter 3 says, know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. We have a good shepherd that guides us, that cares for us, that protects us, that comes to seek us when we begin to go astray. And we don't experience God's wrath against us here, and we don't experience God's wrath for eternity, and we'll not spend eternity in hell. But we're not going to be simply annihilated either. We'll spend eternity, redeemed soul and resurrected body, with the Lord and with the saints of God, beginning with Abel. Every one of them saved by grace through faith. Every one of them from Abel on. And we'll spend eternity in this place. Revelation chapter 21, verse 3 through 4 speaks about, may God give us the grace and the understanding to accept these words as God's truth. This is true. How then should we live if this is true? And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. It is a wondrous thing to consider that our Lord has prepared this place for us. This is marvelous in our eyes, but we must not stop short. We shouldn't stop short as we think on these things. As God's eternally redeemed children, we spend eternity with God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And of course, in their presence, there is no, and there can never be, any sin, any temptation, any sickness, any death, any sorrow, or any evil. But it's not just what isn't there, it's what is there. This is not just some vacuum where there's none of these bad things, and praise be to God, we're done with our sin nature. We're done with the devil. But it's not just what isn't there, it's what is there. The Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, the saints of God. This is an eternity in paradise, and we ought to consider that word paradise. Jesus said to the thief on the cross, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Do we live as a pilgrim people headed for paradise? That's the far country we're headed for. Paradise. The scriptures talk of paradise. Paul spoke of this paradise that he was caught up into. And then Revelation chapter 2 verse 7 says this, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. This is where we're going. To the paradise of God. This is where we're traveling to. Bless the Lord, O my soul, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercy. God has not dealt with us after our sin. God has dealt with us wondrously. God has also dealt with us bountifully. Psalm 13, verse 5 and 6, but I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will sing unto the Lord because he hath dealt bountifully with me. Psalm 116 verse 7 says, return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dwelt bountifully with thee. We can all testify to how God has dealt with us wondrously, bountifully with us. We deserve none of this. This is simply unmerited favor. All of it. Uncounted blessings every day of our life. We take these blessings for granted. Why do we do that? We must pray more about this. Because our nature is such that we tend to wander, that we tend to grow cold. We must pray more about these things. We must cry out to God that God would make our hearts soft toward Him, that God would renew our minds, that God would quicken our spirits, that God would give us a great joy in our salvation. But more than that, that not just that He has not dealt with us after our sins, but that He has dealt wondrously with us, that He has dealt bountifully with us. Lamentations chapter 3 verse 23 says, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. I can testify to this. I testify to the faithfulness of God. I will tell you, I fail God so often, it grieves me. But I go to God in prayer. He's faithful. He forgives. He cleanses. He renews. I can tell you, even on this trip, I've made the mistake that I've often made. Do I pray more on a trip like this? Do I pray more when I need more grace, or do I pray less? No, I get caught up in the whirlwind of the traveling and meeting people, and I pray less. Instead of putting on more armor, I take some off. And yet God is merciful. God is gracious. And when we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. May we learn our lessons and remember them. And may we always praise God for His mercy. Psalm 68, verse 19 to 20. Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. He that is our God is the God of salvation. Unto God the Lord belong the issues from death. Unto God belong the issues of salvation, the issues of deliverance. But this God daily loadeth us with benefits. And another blessing that He gives us. You know, the devil is a roaring lion. seeking whom he may devour. He's roaming about, seeking whom he may devour. And the Lord has protected us from the rage and cruelty of the devil. I know someone's probably thinking, what about those Christians who are killed? You know, the devil's waging war on every one of us. What about those Christians who are killed? Yes, Christians suffer and Christians are killed. But when they're in God's will, it's for God's glory, but it's never because of the devil's whim. And we need to understand that the devil seeks to destroy us. He seeks to destroy our faith. He seeks to destroy our joy. He seeks to destroy our witness. And how many of us have given him how many occasions to do just that? The Lord has protected us from the follies of our flesh so that the devil might not bring reproach upon his people and destroy us. God has given us the Holy Spirit. God has put us in the body of Christ. God has put us in the church of the living God, the General Assembly, and the church of the firstborn. God has written our names in heaven in the Lamb's book of life. God has loaded us with benefits. He has dealt wondrously with us. He has dealt bountifully with us. He has not dealt with us according to our sins. 1 Corinthians 1:9, God is faithful, by whom ye were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. God is faithful. We're wretches. We fail God. And that's not to excuse it. Don't ever think you can just say, well, I fail God, I'm a wretch. You're not to fail God. There is no benefit in failing God. There's only hurt. But we do fail because we're in this flesh and we see ourselves as wretches. And yet God has mercy on such wretches such as us. And God never fails. And God has called us into the fellowship of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's faithful. And of his fullness, John 1:16, speaking of our Lord. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. It's all from the fullness of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the fountainhead of all power and all grace that we received. And he has bestowed such unmerited favor to those of us who have no merit and deserve no favor. The grace of our Lord Jesus, Paul says, was exceedingly abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. Over and over in the scriptures we're reminded, his mercy endureth forever. His mercy endureth forever. And so it does. And today we should rejoice in that. And we should think of the times when we were hard-hearted, cold-hearted. And maybe we are today. And we ought to repent. And we ought to go to God's throne of grace, seeking grace and mercy in our time of need. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. This is the way it was with Paul. Paul says, and the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. His mercy endureth forever, and of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. Paul did, the saints did, all the saints all the way back. The reformers did, all those who have stood for Christ. This is the way it was with David. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The Lord did not deal with David according to his sin. He had mercy on David. He has mercy with us. He has not dealt with us after our sins. He has dealt with us wondrously. He has dealt with us in a bountiful fashion. And last, he has dealt with us according to his word. Do you understand the significance of this? He has dealt with us according to his word. The scriptures say his word cannot be broken. It's settled forever, settled in heaven. Psalm 119:65, thou hast dealt well with thy servant, O Lord, according unto thy word. And the scriptures say that every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them who put their trust in him. God's grace and mercy endureth forever. We can trust his word. We can trust his promises. What we can't trust is our flesh. What we can't trust is our emotions or our intellect. We must trust in the word of God. Read the word of God with faith. I believe this word. I don't know how many times I've gone to prayer alone with God. And the first thing I cry out is, I believe thy word, O Lord. I believe thy word. I cleave to that like it's an anchor because I know that this word stands. And I know I can trust these promises. And I know I can come before God's throne of grace, seeking grace and mercy in my time of need, which I find as always. We can put our trust in God's word, that God will not deal with us. Those who are saved, those who are redeemed, God will not deal with us after our sin and after our transgressions. God will deal with us wondrously and has and bountifully. Psalm 103:13-14. Like as a father pitieth his children, So the Lord pitieth them that fear him, for he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. Isn't that reassuring? He knows we're dust. Sometimes we don't go before God and we say, God, have mercy on me. I'm just dust. Have mercy on me, God. I have no excuse. I have a million reasons, but I have not got one excuse. And I have no merit. But I come in the name of Jesus, clothed in his righteousness, based on his merits, washed in his blood. So we've been reminded by Psalm 103 of how God has dealt with us. I hope that you're rejoicing in your heart. I hope that you're encouraged. I hope that a peace that passeth understanding has flooded into your minds. Some haven't got that assurance. Some don't have that peace because they don't have Christ. But those that do have Christ were saved to serve. They were redeemed to work. Psalm 91, verse 14 through 16. Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Have you set your love upon the Savior? Have you made his name known? Do you serve him? You know, we get upset when you do someone a good work or a favor and they have no appreciation. People get upset when their own children are not willing to do some work around the house. They're not willing to obey. But yet, how do we react? How do we act? How do we interact? How do we respond to God's gracious mercy? Saved to serve. Created in Christ Jesus for good works. In the garden, what did Jesus say to his disciples that fell asleep? He said, could you not watch with me for 1 hour? We have this one little hour of life on this earth. Can we not watch with him for just 1 hour? Can we not work while it's still light? He that soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion, it says. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Every day of our lives, we should bless the Lord for what he's done for us, for his mercy and for his grace. And our life should show that we're blessing him for what he's done for us. Not just our lips, but our life should reflect the love we had for Christ and the joy we have in our hearts because we've been saved. And we've been saved to follow Christ, saved to serve Christ, saved to be set apart from a corrupt and dying world, saved to be part of a city set on a hill. May God give us a great zeal in our hearts, a great zeal to serve him, an unflagging devotion to the one who saved us and will keep us.